reunited and it feels so good.
Peaches and herb.
This is a special moment. I'm just going to call it out. Julie Foudy joins your mom back to reminisce with her friend and former Stanford teammate. I'm going to get out of the way in a minute and let you two go. But Julie, this is awesome. Thank you so much for making the time.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for being here. Thank you for being here. You're the greatest human being ever.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I can't wait to hear all the stories about how like Lisa used to bully you at Stanford and all things. I'm sure there's a lot of them. But I got to start with really quick, Julie, because this is our first official meeting. But you have been in my life for a very long time.
Aww.
So when I was a third grader playing on the Venom soccer team in Ann Arbor, Michigan, my dad, shout out to Gary, got me this poster.
All right.
So for those on audio who are not watching this on YouTube, this is a poster of Julie Foudy. I mean, flying through the air. It's one of my favorite posters ever. It's a great quote about being a tomboy, which I was. It was on my wall.
Quads. Look at her quads.
Oh my God. Her quads are
gorgeous. Julie, that's amazing.
Perfect.
Shout out to
hamstrings are just like, but I literally had that on my wall all the way through high school. And so it is a modern day miracle that I still have it because I've moved 100 times and I purge everything. But through all my moves, I saved that. I gave it to my niece.
She saved the
so I just got to say, like 8-year-old me is freaking out and about to start crying right now that I get to meet you. And I'm sure there's been so many people who have said that to you, but I'm one of thousands of girls that you inspired and you were on my wall for a long time. So this is a cool moment for me. Especially. Thank you.
Oh, that's really nice. Thanks, Ashley.
And now I have a body size picture of Lisa on my wall because I'm making up for lost time. So, I can't show that one.
I'm
on
the
TV.
Before picture and you're the after.
So that's okay. but it is good to all be back together.
Cutout of Lisa.
Yes, I know. I'll send you one for your house for sure.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, that's really inspiring. Here, don't have four kids.
I want to steal a line from your podcast, which I absolutely love, Julie, which is set the scene for us. Like, where are you? How are you? How are you coming into this?
Yeah, I want every interview of your life. Go.
Every detail. I am at my house and the kids are at school, so life is good.
Yes.
I'm doing great. I'm actually home for a little bit. Anytime I'm home, I do a little whoop whoop. I'm trying. That was my COVID lesson, is less travel, more time present, playing beach volleyball. Not with my kids. I just want to play beach volleyball. I want to be playing pickleball.
I love it. I've gotten into pickleball too. It's so fun.
It's so fun.
Are you mad that I think I'd beat you in pickleball?
Yeah. Oh, I would crush you, Lisa.
Oh, Julie, I'd kick your ass so hard you wouldn't know it hit you. You don't even know.
I would so crush you.
Oh my gosh. No. Hell no. You could dribble the ball more than me, but I would kick your ass in pickleball.
I know you're so fast too. You'd be like that little like dash going around the pickleball court.
Chalk it up as a loss. Chalk it up as a loss, but you'll get better. I'll teach you a few things. That's all.
No, I remember walking with Lisa, by the way. I remember walking with Lisa when I was out visiting her and we're walking there and there's like this little pickleball with these like women who looked like they were a little bit older, maybe in their, I don't know, 60s, 70s. And they were playing pickleball and just having a nice time. And Lisa looks over at me. We're having this big conversation. She goes, I would kick both of their asses so hard. And I was like,
okay, but would you? Because that I was just going to say like, so for example, this weekend we go see my parents who are in Palm Desert, and my sister and I, whenever we go see them, it's like pickleball heaven out there. They live in a retirement community. They have like 15 gorgeous lit courts. So we always bring our pickleball paddle. We go there. We think, you know, like we're athletes. We can do this. We get our asses handed to us by 70, 75 year olds. And my kids think that is the best thing ever because they play all that angle game. You know, they're quick.
I've had a few of those too, where I'm like, are you kidding me? They got the knee brace. They're on the court. And you're like, are you kidding me? Yeah. There's some really good older pickleball players.
Julie, what was Lisa like as a teammate? I'm like dying to hear what she was like during her Stanford days from what you remember. Because Lisa, you were a grade ahead.
Don't.
I may or may not have texted our Stanford soccer thread.
And that I'm not on. Thank you.
God. I know. whatever. It's mostly like my class.
Okay.
But I'm
way older than Julie, way older. Like 2 years. My 2 years.
I haven't read all of them, and nice. I really Good. Need to read Good. All of them before I actually read them on air, because they're not going to be clean.
It's okay. We can edit.
No. Do you remember that she goes, this is from Kim Peterson, KP. Oh, Kate, do you remember that road trip when we were in a van and she was showing to passing cars, honk if you like the driver's boobs? Blair apparently was driving.
Then we got a lot of honks because Blair had it going on.
No one is honking. Okay. Then there was a moment Lisa and I shared, one of my favorite Lisa stories is when, was that my freshman year when the earthquake hit?
It was 89. No, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. Cause it was during a World Series, blah, blah, yeah. It was 89.
We had this huge earthquake.
Hey, wait, can I preempt this? I'm from Miami, Florida. A hurricane would hit, but we'd have like a week notice to evacuate, just so you know, so we could prepare, we could hunker down. I didn't even know what an earthquake was. I'm like, oh, whatever. So, okay, go ahead.
Loma Prieta, someone said, was the name of the earthquake, right?
Sure.
So literally, I had just headed the ball, and I went towards the fence to get the ball, and the earthquake moved the earth so much that I like fell into the fence, and I thought like I was dizzy from heading the ball. Then I looked up and there are waves, like the actual earth was in waves. You could see it moving like that. And Lisa,
you're such a bitch. Can we not have her on, please? Can we?
I'm loving Lisa. This.
Where's Brandi Chastain? She'd be a way better guest.
Lisa's like, do not let me die a virgin on this field. I am gonna fall into the crack and die.
And then, hey, I've never been in an earthquake. Calm down. I thought the world.
I am dying right now. Oh,
I mean, people are clearing the stands, and she's like, "We are dying here." Dying.
I had a phobia because I thought the earth was going to crack in half. And I remember thinking, I just want to be on the right side of where the crack. I want to be on the correct side. I don't even know what that was.
So then
that's enough.
Our teammates reminded me that when
the
earthquake was over, she was telling people that she single-handedly pulled people out of the rubble of Loma Prieta.
I was basically a hero that day. I didn't wake up knowing I was going to be a hero, but no, I was no hero. I'm scared to death.
Not all heroes wear capes, but they are virgins. this is my favorite thing. I have not.
For the record,
keep going, Julie. Please keep going.
No, that's good. We're good. Anyway.
They do want to know if you still snap your fingers.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yep. When I get
so that was a thing from college.
Oh, that was in high. Yeah,
I always thought it. Okay, can I say I always thought it was like you maybe used to pack dips, and that was like
what you, no. That's what know what? Growing up in Miami, I think it was like a Cuban thing. Like all the Cubans, I remember the Cuban men would do it, and I learned how to do it, and then all of a sudden it became a reaction when I get nervous. So yeah,
I did. I think I saw you snapping for Christian the other day on something. Yeah. I was like, yeah, she still does it.
It's when I'm out of control and it's the one, I don't know. If I have some. Anyway, okay, enough about me.
Good to see you haven't changed one bit, Lisa. That I admire.
Well, you either, sort of, kind of. I don't know. Let's talk.
A little more wrinkles, more laugh lines.
Same, yeah.
Larger chest. I've had a few adjustments.
I know, yeah. See more scars, whatnot. Yeah, pumped out a few kids. It happens.
But other than that, exactly the same. I will say too, like for all the funny stories, and I'm sure, Lisa, if there's anything you'd want to share about Julie, go ahead. But when I texted you and said, what do you remember about Julie as a teammate? I remember we were just kind of going back and forth ahead of this interview. And you made some like perfectly wisecrack thing about how she used to bully you and you deserved it and all the rest. And then you came immediately back and you said, just kidding. She was the best teammate of all time. And Lisa doesn't give out.
No, I don't
accolades. She literally doesn't compliment anyone.
She was.
Come on, you have to talk about my hair. I mean, she's.
We all had bad hair back then. Come on.
I
was a rite of passage. Yeah. To have bad hair back then.
Yours wasn't that bad. Yours wasn't
I was afraid. Bad. I was afraid my hair would grow up instead of down if I grew it out because it was that big. So
you had short hair for a bit, bit, yeah. And it was a little puffy. Yeah, but it looked good.
Good.
It went really well with your like really good quads, your amazing quads.
Okay, so besides her quads and her great hair, what made Julie Foudy a great teammate, Lisa?
Well, just to be serious regarding soccer, literally, Julie, you were the best. You kept it. You were the perfect combination of keeping it serious and also making it fun at the same time. And when you joined the team, I actually felt like we united. We like became a more of a team. You were so kind and generous. And not just that, but you backed it up on the field because you were so good. So amazing. I just remember like a couple times, like you literally would plant the ball at my like right foot. And I remember thinking, if I don't make this, I would feel guilty because anyone could make this shot because you were the best midfielder ever. And I had to play forward. So you'd have to feed me the balls and literally you were so good. So good. It's no wonder you went on when had so much success. So,
the nice thing is you had Lisa on one side. You had this other Jen. Player, Jen Rocket. Jen, was
called the Rocket. Yep.
Yeah. And so
Jen Rowland, because there was like 50 Jens on our team. We had three Jen. There were three Jens, but this is the Rocket. Yeah.
Yeah. Rocket. I had two Rockets that I just like, you just launch it. That's pretty easy as a midfielder. Just send it. No, go get it.
You made us look good. You're saying it's, you know, I promise. Yeah. We were a little bit fast, but man, did you make us look good? You made our job easy. That's for sure. So thank you for that. Thank you.
We had a fun team. I missed those years.
Those were fun. I wish I appreciated more at the time. I remember just grueling sometimes of just going to the practices and stuff. But yeah, it was fun. We had some good girls on the team. They were fun.
To that point, Lisa, I think there's a lot of people that I've heard, and particularly at Stanford, and I've been lucky enough to be around a lot of Stanford people in the day job that I have at the Pac-12, but a lot of them say, I knew Stanford was special. I felt really lucky to be there, but it wasn't until years removed and kind of looking back, did I realize how formative that place was and the people in particular who I was with. So Julie, do you feel that way as you gotten older, when you look back, you appreciate it in a different way?
Yeah. And that, you know, I think that probably rings true for a lot of college age kids, right? You just don't realize it was this little utopia, in a sense that everyone lives on campus. I mean, think about, there's not many colleges still where you have most of your 4 years are spent on campus with everyone. It was just, I mean, spring days were spent playing volleyball on the grass or studying. Yeah. I'm so sad they tore down Meyer Library, by the way, in that big old sun deck, because I spent a lot of days on that sun deck.
Yep.
We did. Lisa used to make out. Yeah. At least she was still making out.
So you were on the sun deck. I was down below in the stacks. Yeah.
Because that's what virgins did. They made out.
For the record, I didn't think she was a virgin. So,
no comment.
It was, and I mean, you're surrounded by a bunch of amazing women on the team. We have that community, and yeah, it's a special place.
It really is.
I love it.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about the World Cup, so we're going to get to this year's World Cup. I know we have to because we promised that when we
last story.
Yeah. Oh gosh,
please.
I just saw this one. That she used to tell people in the airport we were a collegiate outdoor gymnastics troupe,
a circus troupe. We kind of were.
She hasn't changed.
There was a lot of traveling we had to do.
Our driver's boobs. Like, that is just really.
And she's like, hey, why is no one honking?
Oh, God, Lisa McCaffrey, you are a special, special lady. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the World Cup. We're going to talk obviously about this year's World Cup because I know this is an exciting time, but can we just go back to, and Lisa, again, when we were chatting about this, you had such a poignant memory of watching the 1999 World Cup, Lisa.
Yes.
Poignant you can't even remember right now.
No, I can. I can remember. I just remember sitting there, I was crying, especially in the finals, because I was breastfeeding one of my kids. And I just remember I had mastitis. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm here with like kids and I'm bleeding and I feel like sick. But at the same time, you guys were just so, it was just, it took me away from what was happening at the moment to me. And I could escape and watch you guys and watch you guys just, it was one of the most amazing times in sports history that I've ever seen. Just what a victory for women, for everyone. It was really neat. It was really amazing. So,
so you're saying while we were winning a World Cup, your nipples were bleeding?
100%. And my baby was throwing up my blood, not his blood, my blood. So bam. Yep.
That is so painful.
Horrible mastitis. Yep. So let's talk about that. Huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, what you for distracting me. So I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Pretty much watching your former teammates win a World Cup is probably the only thing that could make mastitis.
That's
feel
the only, right.
Better.
That was the only thing that made me feel better. Yeah.
I would agree with that. What do you remember? I mean, Julia, I'm sure you, and you've done so much to commemorate what that team was, what that season was like, that win. Where, how do you think that 99, you know, World Cup team changed things? What fundamentally, as you look back, what do you think it changed?
I mean, it showed people what was possible, the potential. I mean, I've said this a million times, but we could have so easily done that on a smaller scale, regionalized it, smaller stadiums. That's what FIFA wanted us to do. And thankfully, U.S. soccer goes, no, we're going to do it nationally, big stadiums. And we took a lot. We actually took some criticism for that. Like, how dare you, you know, be putting this on in these 90,000 seat stadiums that are going to be empty? And we were like, well, how do you know they're going to be empty? Why are you assuming they're going to be empty, you asswipe? No, they might not be empty. So am I allowed to swear on this cut-house?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That was the first time anyone's ever sworn, but we'll.
Yeah. I have a really hard time with not swearing. So I think the thing that we're most proud of is it showed the potential for what women's sports should look like. I mean, mind you, I thought that was going to flip the script right away and everyone would be, you know, oh yes, I'm on board with women's sports. Obviously it's taken another 20 plus years to get there.
I've just based on the success from that victory.
Yeah. I'm like, why has it taken us another 20 years to finally realize like, oh, women's sports is actually something we should bet on and we should invest in that. And you don't have to, the good news is no longer do you have to waste your energy on convincing people that women's sports are something good to bet on and invest in. So that's good. But I thought that would have happened after they saw 99 and it took another couple decades.
Yeah.
What do you think Brandi Chastain's shirt off sports bra, like that iconic image? And I've talked to her about this at the time. She didn't really think anything of it. And then all of a sudden is having people, you know, hand her posters when you guys are, I think it was, she was saying when you guys were doing the parade, people were having posters of that shot that they wanted her to sign. What, as you look back again, all these years later, like what was that part of it that kind of women's sports, what did it emote to you? What do you think it signified?
You know, when it actually happened on the field, I was like, oh, crap. I'm going to have to answer so many questions about this in the media. I was like, just put your shirt on, Brandi. She always was naked, right? So we were always like, oh, of course she takes her shirt off. But now I'm like, well, hell yeah. It symbolized like this unapologetic, I'm strong. Yeah, you can see my sports bra. Who the hell cares?
Love it.
And this is who I am. And I'm celebrating in this moment. And so now I'm like, yes.
And but men do it all the time. They score a goal. They rip their shirt off all the time. We can do it too. I love it.
So, yeah. And, you know, that's exactly, she had grown up watching soccer and men's players do it. And it was just this reactive. It was fantastic. People are like, was it staged?
Oh gosh.
No, that's Brandi. I'm just happy it wasn't this abs set right here. That was something that would have not been good for the cover of Sports Illustrated.
You just pull your shorts up and show your quads. You're good.
Just show them your hamstrings and it's fine. I was listening to the 99ers podcast reunion and your podcast is terrific. I absolutely love it. Laughter Permitted. If you haven't listened to it or if you haven't subscribed yet, like stop what you're doing. Pause this, go find it and subscribe and then come back. But there were so many, it was like, I felt like, I mean, I almost wanted to get a beer and sit there and listen to that entire thing because you guys were having it was a reunion of friends getting together, reliving one of this most magical moment. There were so many great stories that came out of that. Do you have a favorite sort of behind the scenes story from that World
from
Cup
from 99?
Yeah.
Or from the reunion.
There's a lot of neither one. There was a lot.
There's a lot we couldn't air of the reunion. Poor Lynn.
I was thinking that too. I'm so glad I didn't have to edit this.
I was like, you're going to need a week to edit this and you only have a day. Uh-huh. I'm like, you know what? I think you should just say 99ers raw and let it all go. And she's like, oh God. No, I think that just in terms of, I was thinking in the final, specifically the Rose Bowl, my favorite story is when Brandy goes, you know, I love when fans come up to me and was like, I was in the Rose Bowl that day and it was hot. And she's like, no shit. I was there too. And we're melting. Thanks for telling me it was hot. Is that all you got?
That's your memory? That it was hot?
Do you think she wants that? Those people want their money back? Like, is that what they're looking for? Because they were so hot? What?
So my favorite memory is, and it symbolized actually what didn't happen in the final. It was actually at Soldier Field in Chicago. So like a few games into the tournament, because we didn't know like how responsive fans would be, if people would show up. We knew that the ticket sales were going well, but we didn't know that it would snowball into the event it became. And just, I mean, it quickly accelerated. And then everyone wanted to talk to you. And suddenly we were rock stars and, you know, thousands of people showing up at practices. And we were like, what the hell is going on? We've never had this before. And there was this woman, as we finished our game, we played Nigeria in Chicago at Soldier Field. And the bus had become the area, you know, the loading area, it had become just absolutely chaos, like getting to the bus and getting the fans away. And so the fans are screaming as we're getting on the bus. And this is only a couple games in. And this woman starts running with the bus and she's running and we're on a police escort. And so it's getting faster and faster. And she's dodging traffic and people, and she's staying running.
Was it Lisa McCaffrey?
Her name was Lisa.
Is that inappropriate?
And she's holding this child that she's breastfeeding, and there's blood.
She's bleeding out as she's chasing this bus.
Hey, I need one more autograph. Okay, Julie, calm down. All right. I needed one more.
So finally, I mean, we're cheering her on the bus. And then we're like, what are we doing? Why are we encouraging this? She's going to die. And she's weaving through traffic and the police escort. So we're like, stop the bus. Stop the bus. So they stop the bus and she's panting. She comes up to the bus I think Brandy actually took her cleat off, signed her cleat, and we handed it to her. And it's this great video of her like kissing, like, mwah, her cleat, like, thank you. That was worth it. I almost died. But
you should have signed her up. She sounds like she's got good endurance and
faster
speed
than me. That's for certain, but most are. That's we started to get a sense of, oh, like something's resonating here in a different way than we've ever seen before. This is crazy. These people are crazy.
That's special though. Cause I'm sure there are those moments where you've played the sport your whole life and you've achieved a lot. And then all of a sudden you have a poignant thing like that happen. And it's a reminder of what you're doing and what you're building. Okay. So tell us your plans for this year's World Cup. You're covering it.
Well, it's on Fox and I don't do Fox stuff. So I'm covering it, but I'm not calling it.
Okay.
So
where will you be able to go?
Some SportsCenter stuff.
Okay.
Another COVID lesson was, do I need to work this hard? I don't think so. So my goal is actually I'm going to go to New Zealand and, I have to come back cause I do Little League World Series as well for ESPN. And, so I'm going to come back but I'm going to catch the first half of it in New Zealand, like those first three games and maybe the round of 16. But my goal is to like explore New Zealand and also work and cover it, but not like I would typically at World Cup. I mean, typically you're there and you're grinding it out. But ESPN doesn't have the rights to US soccer games anymore. I took all my commentating to Turner for soccer stuff and Warner Brothers Discovery. So anyways, long story short, I'll be there, but I'm hoping that I'm there like enjoying it.
Exploring just, and being a tourist. I'll good. Help you if you want. I can do your makeup. Yes. And I'll be your fluffer and I'll just like walk yes. around. I'll help you explore New Zealand. Is that all right?
Yes, please. You're invited.
Thank you.
She's a great fluffer. She
is a great fluffer. Get me on that group chat and we'll see you in New Zealand. Let's go.
Oh, okay. So tell us like, what are we excited to see? Like if I'm a novice, yeah. I know that I am excited for the Team USA and I know that I'm going to watch yeah. it. Like what are the storylines? Like what are the things that you're excited to see? Unfold?
Well, no one male or female World Cup team has ever gone back to back to back. So wow. you've had some dual winners like the US right now. So the US women won in 2015. They won in 2019. Brazil has done that before on the men's side. I think Italy maybe has done that before on the men's side. I could be wrong on that, but for sure Brazil. But no one has done the three back-to-backs.
Let's go.
So the three-peat. so it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, make history by doing that. I think they, you know, one of the things they learned from the Olympics, this last Olympics when they didn't do so bueno, was that they wanted to bring in a younger crop of players. And so they have managed to do that really well. But two of those younger players are now out yeah. With some injury. Obviously, Mal Swanson, Mal Pugh before, now Mal Swanson. Yeah. That loss, brutal. In the last games that just happened in April, I mean, it was just brutal. So she's not making it back to the World Cup with a, you know, torn patella tendon. I don't know if that's been said, but I just can't see. I don't think that's fair to her to put those expectations yeah. on her. So, and this is a player that I've watched Mal play from, you know, she was a 16-year-old on the Olympic team in 2016, 16, 17-year-old. And then she had some injuries and wasn't playing as well, didn't make the last Olympic team. And so she had this resurgence in a way I'd never seen a player like come from this young hype, you know, to kind of falling off the radar a little bit. And then she's like 100%. Leading the team and literally putting them all on her back.
Wow.
And scoring goals. And she had scored half the goals for the team this calendar year alone.
Wow.
And so
wow.
It's
huge.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And devastating for her too.
Do you think they have someone that could fill that void? Do they have a couple people that could fill it though? Or no?
I mean, and actually, yes, gutted for her because she'd been playing so well. Like mm-hmm. that's the thing that you just go, oh yeah. God. I think it's going to be hard to fill, honestly, Lise. I mean, this is a player that was playing out of her mind and just scoring goals and taking over games. And she was, I think you could argue she was the most form player in the world.
Wow.
And so I think those are hard shoes to fill. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're not going to, you know, be able to contend and vie for a World Cup title. They absolutely can because they have so many, I mean, the US has such depth, but I think that's going to be a real hard one to replace. They have a 18-year-old in Alyssa Thompson, who they brought in is kind of what they're looking at. And we have a lot of really good wingers playing in our professional league as well. So they've got a few months, right, to find who's going to fill those shoes. But yeah, missing out on Mal is
that's
a huge
tough.
One for the team.
That's hard.
But this team is really good. They're number one in the world. They're the two-time reigning World Cup champion. You know, it's a younger group that doesn't maybe have that experience, but they still have, you know, Megan Rapinoe and Becky Sauerbrunn and, that middle group is now aging through. Crystal Dunn, Rose Lavelle. I mean, there's a lot of good players. It's whether they can put it all together. And the last thing I'll say is the rest of the world, as we know, is getting really invested in women's football, especially in Europe. And so those European teams, because now all these big clubs are spending a lot of money on their women's programs, those players are really good.
Yeah.
We're kind of screwed that Europe's getting really good.
Damn them
no,
for trying.
Julie, you, yeah, screw them. It was funny. I was having a conversation with somebody when I was down at Stanford for the Game Changers events that you were honored at. I know you couldn't make it.
But I was so sad to miss
you. I know.
That.
It was. We were sad to miss you too, but it was a really cool event and so many amazing women. It was a, you know, Title IX anniversary. All the Game Changers in Stanford athletics over the years. It was really cool. But one of the conversation at my table was that yeah, it, the tide has shifted because Title IX kind of gave the U.S. a leg up. Like we had kind of a little bit of a head start in terms of investing in female athletes and women's sports. And, and now it is the rest of the world is starting to catch up and it's going to be a lot harder and more competitive. I've got to ask you, do you have, I know you wouldn't ever say this on ESPN or any of your like official when you're wearing the broadcasting hat, but here on the Your Mom podcast, maybe anything goes. Do you have a favorite player? Like who's your gal on this team?
I would say, God, that's hard. I could pick one from each line. But the one that's like so much fun to watch is Rose Lavelle.
Yeah.
She just can spin a game on its head and so quickly with the way she plays, like so good on the ball. And she's just a love. She's a goofball and funny. And I think probably Rose, I would say, is the one that, you know, and I think a lot of fans, like when Rose touches the ball, you constantly, you're like, oh, okay, what's going to happen? That's always a good thing to happen in soccer.
And her mom's a trip is from what I hear.
We're going to get her mom.
We got to get her on. Yeah, you need to get Rose's mom on the pod because she makes Rose look boring.
Been way more fun. Wow. Okay, wait. So now tell me about your kids. You have two kids, right?
I do. 14 and 16. How about that, Lisa?
Wow.
You know those ages.
I do. Yes, I do.
A little terrifying. Mm-hmm. Izzy, my 16-year-old, just got her license. So clear the road, Southern California.
Look out.
So holy hell.
We're off the roads. If she's anything like her mom, steer
good
clear.
Good God.
That's an exciting time. Good.
No, they're great kids. Izzy plays soccer. Declan, my 14-year-old, is a basketball player. He goes, okay, Mom. From a very young age, he goes, Mom, too much running in soccer.
He couldn't handle it. I love it.
He's a big boy. When he was growing up, we called him Grunquito. Because he's like drunk.
I love it.
Grunquito. So he's a big Christian McCaffrey fan. Big.
He's not
get Christian's autograph. I'm like, I am not bugging Lisa for an autograph. No.
I will get him an autograph. Yes. If he wants an autograph, I will get. He has you as his mom. He's got to put up with you. That kid deserves the world. He deserves
the least you could do.
Lisa for an autograph. I'm like, I am not texting Lisa for an autograph.
Oh, I will get that kid an autograph if it's the last thing I do. Basketball is a hard sport to be a parent in. I've had to sit in gyms when my kids were playing and you see all the faces. So you know what they look like, you know, football, you're a little bit hidden with the helmet, but their faces are right there and you can hear the opposing teams just ridicule intense. And heckle. And it is so, that was the most intense game I've ever been a part of watching my kids play basketball and they all played. It's tough. Do you get on the court and like yell at the ref and get in the face?
Oh,
like
yell
at the coach and put him in and stuff. Right. Like you do that a lot.
Grab him by the collar.
Yes. Good.
Do you know who I am?
Yes. I always say with basketball or just gyms, like gyms are so loud, right?
So loud.
I mean, it'd be so great to just do you don't need any, just sound and visuals, like a documentary, slow motion of people just like,
Totally. Yes.
That's every court. You look around, it's just insanity in basketball.
It is. It's so funny. You see that even in the pros. You see those women like yelling at, like as the players are exiting, they're like yelling at them. You're like, lady, guys, calm down. For real, calm down.
But I think that's to the point of you have achieved the highest career success you can in a sport. And so having played at that high level, Julie, I'm curious what your, and for the, you know, parents of kids who are coming up and playing sports that listen to this podcast, what do you think the role of a parent should be in
their kids' sports? They should shut the hell up is what the role should be.
Okay, we're done. That's it. No more your mom. That's it.
This is the last podcast. This is the only advice you need,
that's
parents.
All you need.
Yep. Shut the hell up. I get so irate when parents, I mean, this just happened this weekend. We were at a tournament. I was sitting next to two parents who were yabber. And I was like, I cannot do this. And it was, you know, normally in a gym when it's so loud, you can't hear it all necessarily because it's just chaos. But it was just one court. And I was like, are they like this all the time? All our parents? Shut up.
It's it's embarrassing.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And like, who wants to hear that? No one needs to hear that.
And if it's parents,
you're not helping your kid.
Right. No. And if it's parents on your team, like where your kid is playing, your kid will get the you know, they'll think it's him. They'll think it's you. They immediately, yeah, like if somebody else is acting up, they would be like, oh, that's Ed McCaffrey's team. And so, yeah, Ed, like, but Ed wasn't yelling. You're like, we weren't yelling. Yeah. It was somebody else. And then we're getting a bad rap. That happened a lot. A lot. You're like, right, hey, what?
Like, I can't believe Ed yells all the time.
Yeah. No, there was one rumor that Ed got in a fight, like a physical fight after at a game. You're like, no, he did not get in a fight. He's never hit anyone because of my kids' sports. No, sorry. But yeah, things just get, there's a lot of out of control stuff. So.
Yeah, they just got to, I mean, you ask a kid, what's the first thing they say? I don't want you talking. Like, no. Yeah. The only time I ever talk at a game, the only thing I will say, it's a collective. Like, here we go, five. They're called five on five. Here we go, five. Here we go. Fair. Here we go, Blues. That's my kid's soccer team. That's it.
Do you help coach your daughter? Because your son is with your daughter, right? Do you help coach her at all?
Hell
or no?
No. Hell no.
Did you ever coach any of their teams?
No.
Oh, no. Do they know what a big deal you are? Like, do that? Because I think some
every day.
Okay, good. Yeah. So you start every morning before breakfast. They have to like watch a highlight.
Let's review, kids.
Yeah, look at this, guys. Yeah.
No, I know.
Show them that poster.
Yeah, it's hard being a parent. I'm not saying it's not done with the best of intentions, but like we just need to shut up. Like, let's just shut up. Like, let's just do quiet time. And if you're cheering, it's just for the team. Like, way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I tell my kids all the time, my mom, when she used to come to games, the national team games, we used to play in this thing called the Algarve Cup in Portugal. There was no one in the stands. Okay? It was this great tournament in March where we go to the Algarve of Portugal and play golf and drink red wine all the whole time, which is why we probably never won it. But my mom came one year and she was in the stands, and we have, you know, our little, you know, video recorder that we use for our like game footage for feedback that we do with the team. So they're replaying this video to the team in our game footage. And all it is my mom going, go Mia, go Mia, go Mia. Yes, Mia. Yes, Mia. That is such a good kick, Mia.
That is a good kick.
Cheering for every single player, you know, never her kid. I was like, Go Mia. Yes, Brandy. Yes, Brandy. Oh, Brandy, that was such a good play.
That's an amazing impersonation, too. I feel like, wow. And did you say mom?
Muted version for us to go through, because this is going to drive me crazy. I do love that she wasn't at least like, you know, there's some parents like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It could have been
awful.
Worse.
Yeah. At least she's positive.
Oh, she was so positive. It was so cute. That's what you want to be. If you're anything, be that.
Be that. That is so perfect. Such good advice. I love it. Yep. Good advice.
Fruity Judy.
Yeah.
Tell us about your mom.
Oh, Fruity Judy. My parents are now in their 80s, but they're doing great. And
good.
And they never, ever, ever would, you know, get me in the car afterwards and be like, let's talk about the game. That's, you know, literally mom, when I, you know, we lost the final to Norway in the 2000 Olympics. And I mean, we played a really good game, should have beat them. I was just crushed. And she was like, honey, I could not be prouder than I am right now of you, and you should not be crying. And I was like, honey, I like silver medal socks. I mean,
moms are the best.
Wait, so then how did you get into soccer if they were, you know, just kind of not that competitive or
they weren't
supportive, but how did you fall in love with soccer? Because as a girl falling into soccer at kind of our ages, it was unique in a way.
This little kid named Eric came to our door in first grade with his red rubber ball and said, do you want to play? And I was a little tomboy and I was like, yeah, of course I do. And I'd be the only girl out there running around. And I'd be like, mom, sign me up, sign me up. She's like, and there was no soccer to sign you up at age 6 at that time. And so AYSO started in our area the very next year. So at age 7, I was like, sign me up, AYSO, AYSO. And that's how I got going. And they, honestly, they never even came to games.
I don't remember your parents coming to Stanford, but I know they did. I shouldn't say that, but I don't remember. I was like, Ashley's like, I'm like, I don't know if I met your mom or dad.
Yeah, I was the fourth kid. It was like, sweet. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Boom.
Good luck out there, honey.
Good luck.
Memories.
You got this.
You can do it. We believe in you. Bye.
I literally had to convince him to come to the first World Cup. I'm like, no, Dad, it's kind of a big deal. He's like, it's a really busy time of the year. I'm like, no, it's a World Cup. I know you guys don't know soccer. I mean, but now I look back and I'm like, oh, how refreshing.
I was just going to say, I appreciate the hell out of that.
Yeah, me too.
And so like when, you know, my husband and I are like, I'm like, oh, I'm away. I'm going to miss that game. And he used to be like, oh, you're missing another game? I was like, yeah, my parents never came to a game. It's fine. Right. We shouldn't go to every game. Like, let them play without eyes on them all the time. It's fine. Right.
Let the coaches
coach. I do think, I really do respect and appreciate that. And I believe that one of the things and working in around college athletics, it's like a lot of parents have made their entire lives around their kids and their kids' sporting endeavors. And the pressure, Julie, like from your perspective of what you've seen, the way that it changed maybe from when you guys were playing in college to what it is now, how would you describe?
It's insane.
Yeah. Because it's you look at the numbers and the data and what is going on with people and the depression and the suicide rates, like it's real and it's heavy.
Yeah. It's not good at all. And the model is so whacked too, right? It costs so much money and there's so much travel and God forbid you want to play a second sport. How dare you? Because you're not going to have a life. You're not going to be able to go to school. I mean, Izzy tried to play volleyball as well when she first started high school. She had played both in middle school, and she could not keep it up. It was just too much. So she ended up having to drop one. And of course, she's not dropping soccer. I would never allow that. No, I'm kidding.
You're that mom.
I was like, well, which one are we thinking?
Please be soft. Please
be soft. She was like, I think I'm going to drop volleyball. I was like, oh my God. Yes.
You couldn't disappoint mommy, dearest. She knew the pageant mom.
It's intense. It's way too intense.
I know the girls here in Colorado, there's been a lot of really good girls. Mal Pugh's actually from Colorado, from high school right nearby. But there's a lot of girls that have come out, and a lot of the parents found out, oh, you played soccer team or whatever. It asked, you know, what was it like? And for us, I didn't play on a club team till junior year of high school. And it was kind of a secondary thing. And now the girls don't play their high school and only play their club team. And, you know, I'm like, what's the end goal here? Is it a scholarship? Because if it's a scholarship, you're spending more money on the club team, the travel, everything else before you even get to college. Yeah. It's insane. So
facts.
Yeah, it's right. It's crazy. So, yeah. And I remember
mind the pressure of it. Like we were at a showcase. Izzy plays for an ECNL team in here in Southern California. We were at a showcase the other day. There was like 50 coaches on the sidelines with their little scouting boards and, I'm like, oh my God, I don't remember one coach ever coming out to watch us play. Did you ever?
Right? Never. And I played a couple, I played a tournament out in California one time, and that was the biggest deal ever. And I don't, there wasn't one coach that was there that I recall that I knew of. Yeah, no, not at all. No. Not at all. No, it's so intense. So, and the other thing is play multiple sports. I think it's huge because you're developing other muscles and other, you know, brain chemistries. I just think it's good to develop develop in all sports because I do think it helps prevent injuries. When you just play soccer all the time, it's inevitable things are going to break down. So I'm a huge proponent of making the kids play multiple sports. And I know that
as long as you can.
Exactly.
Man, and if you're a coach in this space or a parent, like, allow that. Don't make us guilty about it. Like, a lot of coaches go, oh, I allow it. And then they're like, why are you missing practice?
And then they penalize you. And then, oh, you don't play or you don't, you know, you don't start or, you know, they penalize the player. I don't know. It's, and you're just like, this is high school. This should be fun still. Should be really fun.
It's too much. And I don't know. But the thing I constantly have conversations with both kids about is it's great that you love your sport and you want to play at the next level. But like, soccer isn't who you are, it's what you do, right? Basketball isn't who you are, it's what you do. Like, there's a lot of other things. If you don't play soccer in college, right, we don't care. Right. In fact, I would argue, look at Division II, look at Division III, look at club. You know, my niece had a great soccer career at Cal Berkeley playing on the club team. And yeah, absolutely loved it, you know, because you have so many good players that aren't playing at Division I level.
Did the Stanford club team beat them, though? That's all I care about.
I did check in on that every time.
That's all that matters.
She said that Berkeley crushed the Stanford club team. I was like, I don't believe it. Send me a screenshot. I need to see a score.
And you may even have more fun. I mean, again, you probably have more balance in your life.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm like, you want that balance. So yeah, I think it's just talking them off the ledge a little bit. Like, we have to constantly do that and have those conversations. But
are they competitive and intense? Because, I mean, both you and your husband played at a high level. I mean, I would think they would be. So,
and I mean, you know it well, Lisa. You guys both played at a high level, and so they have that to live up to, right? Like,
right, and they're competitive, so they put a lot of pressure on themselves. So that's right. You know, we have to back off just so that they're
exactly I have those conversations a lot. Like, I don't need you to play Division I soccer. If you stop today, I would be fine with that. You're going to play a sport and hopefully a team sport. But, right? Like, it doesn't.
If they don't, are you going to put them in pageants or like make them do something else or like take an instrument practice constantly? What are you going to supplement?
I did say to my mom once, I can't believe you never taught me how to play an instrument. And she was like, oh, please don't start with me on this. I was like, why didn't you teach me how to play an instrument so I was more balanced?
Basically child abuse.
Parents. She's like, neglect. I tried to sit your ass at the piano and you left. You wouldn't sit.
Okay, that happened to me. Yeah, same. I tried to like introduce my kids to piano, same thing when they were young, and they like wanted no part of it. And then all of a sudden our neighbor who's actually could play told Christian in like seventh or eighth grade, you know, girls really like it if you can play piano. Dude, bam. The next day that guy's like playing Whitney Houston songs. I'm like, what the heck? That's what it took. He's like playing all these.
And now he's engaged to a former Miss Universe. So it all worked out. The goal was successful. That is hilarious. Yeah. Playing piano to get chips. Football's not going to do it, but it was not. Piano can. Julie, you've been so gracious with your time, and we'll let you go soon because we could sit here with you all day long. And I know you've got a lot of things going on, but I think to the point of, you know, the way that you've thought about trying to be intentional about parenting your kids through the way that they have played sports and developed and all the rest. How hard was it? Or what was the transition like when you stopped playing? Because even as someone who never even came close to scratching the surface of the level that you guys played at, I really had a hard time when my athletic career ended my freshman year of college. I struggled. Yeah. Like, your identity has been wrapped up. So to your point of what you said, that's not who you are. It's what you do.
Yeah.
How did you, what was that kind of stage of your life like?
You know, this was never anything that I even like consciously prepared for. It wasn't cognizant in terms of like, diversify in college into things you want to do. But for some reason, I just knew like I was not the type of player that I needed to consume soccer 24/7, right? For example, Brandi Chastain, very much like that to this day, consumes, watches everything, you know, wants to coach all the time. Like, I was like, shoot me now if that's me, because I cannot. That's not me. Like, I didn't want that. I wanted to be doing a million different things outside of soccer. So I quickly realized that about myself. And so as my national team career progressed, I just started dabbling in a lot of different things and television and just really following my passion and curiosity and not knowing at all that would make that transition so much easier. Mm. It's just, and now I look back and go, that's why the transition was so easy for me, is because I didn't identify as soccer player first. I identified as soccer player as a great part of, you know, my life, but like, I don't want to be a coach. I don't, you know, like I want to try different adventures. You know, when I first got out of soccer, NBC wanted me to call the Olympics for soccer. And I was like, I don't want to call the Olympics. I want to like learn how to put a piece together. Can you teach me that? So I went to the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, so they could teach me how to do TV with them, but I wouldn't call soccer games. I just did features.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I was like, it's too much of the same stuff. So I actually, didn't have a hard transition because of that, because I already had so many other interests and I didn't identify, and which is why I have that conversation now with my kids. And I tell a lot of young kids, like, I get it. It's a very big part of our identity. And all those habits of working out and being around awesome women and having that community of teammates and that sisterhood is all part of who I am. But like, you can replace that with another sisterhood, and you can still work out, and you can still get all those things you love that bring the endorphins. But it doesn't have to be necessarily on the soccer field. And figuring that out earlier, I think, helped.
That's great.
I respect the hell out of that. And I think that is excellent advice for both young people who are playing sports and parents of young people who are playing sports, because it is hard to not get totally wrapped up. Yeah.
Just like your portfolio, diversify.
Yeah. Lisa has a very diverse portfolio. I just got to say, I'm so glad that you did not die a virgin on the field that day, Lisa, because thank God.
Thank
God I did not.
Would have missed out on a lot of good things in life.
Yeah.
Oh, Julie, thank you for being so generous with your time. We absolutely love you.
You're the best.
Of course. Thanks for doing this pod. It matters. It makes a difference.
You're sweet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the World Cup.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you guys going to get over there? No. Lise, come on.
I'm coming. I'm your fluffer.
Lise is coming as your fluffer.
I'm going to fix that hair.
Let's go. You can be my mister.
Yes, I will be your mister.
Yeah. Oh, it's wintertime down there. We might not need a mister.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll find some. I'll do powder. I'll do your powder on your face right before you go on. And then we'll explore New Zealand. That'd be a blast.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm adding you to the thread. They're going to be.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, please. I know. Come on. That's so rude.
That's a good trade for a Christian McCaffrey autograph.
You guys are the mean girls. The mean girls. Let's not include her.
So you.
She's a tell them she's not a virgin anymore.
No, I can be in the group. I'll be on the group. I'm not. I've had sex 4 times, and that's it. That's absolutely it. Done.
Boom, 100% success rate. I'm in the group. I always know that about you.